Welcome to the Pen to Profit Podcast. We cover everything from writing captivating prose to grammar to marketing tips, tricks, and insider advice to turn your passion for writing into cold, hard cash. Get ready to skyrocket your book sales and your audience with our guidance. Buckle up because you're going on a rollicking ride through the realm of writing riches because the Pen to Profit Podcast starts now.
All right, and we are live. Welcome back once again, all you Hemingway hopefuls and aspiring Austins, to another rip-roaring episode of the Pen to Profit Podcast. I am your host, Ray Evans, and today I am joined by yet again another very special guest, Brittany Plumeri, a proud mother of three and an elementary school teacher. She is not only nurturing young minds, but is also making waves as a best-selling published author. In 2024, she's embarked on an exciting challenge, venturing into a new writing genre every month. Follow her journey as she shares insightful tips and tricks, combining her love for education and storytelling in a way that inspires both students and fellow writers alike. So, Brittany, do you want to say hello to the audience? And can you also tell us what is your favorite book or story and why?
Oh, awesome. Hi, my name is Brittany Plumeri and I'm so excited to be here. My favorite book or story would actually be Lemony Snicket's A Series of Unfortunate Events, because there has been nothing like it. It's just one of a kind and it's a true classic.
Awesome. I've watched the show, a couple episodes of the show. I've actually never read the book though, personally.
You must.
But I'm about to check that out.
You must. It's so good.
All right. So let's get right into it. So every time I have a guest on the show, I do some extensive research on their background. So I guess I wanted to start by asking, are you still working as an elementary school teacher currently?
So currently right now I'm on maternity leave, which means that I'm taking a break because I have my young and he just turned one. So I am currently taking a break and I am actually a full-time author coach at the moment.
Okay, awesome. And how old are your other two children?
They are 6 and 3.
Awesome. All right. And are they all, is it boys, girls? Like what's the gender mix you have going on?
Oh, Noah is 6. He's a boy. And then Ella is 3. That's my girl. And then Luke is 1. He's also a boy.
Got it. Awesome. All right. And so I actually used to be a teacher myself, secondary level, actually, which is grades 8 through 12. So I've had on previous episodes of the show, I've met various authors who have come from, I guess, like diverse walks of life. I've had playwrights, actresses, information technology people, digital marketers, life coaches, and pretty much they all have like a unique way that their prior careers have influenced their writing. So I was curious, have any of your experiences working as a elementary school teacher, has that ever influenced or helped you when like you're writing your plots, or help you with like characterization or in any aspect of like writing a story?
100%. So my first story ever, the idea of even having a story was because of my fourth grade class a couple of years ago. It was a struggle of trying to be kind to each other. And they were not the kind of class where you can read a kind book and it wraps up in the pretty bow at the end and everybody's just friends forever. So I tried really hard to find a kind of story that would resonate with them. Something with like a shoe on the other foot where you need to think about somebody else. And it was really hard to find anything. So I was like, oh, you know what? I'm going to write it. And that's exactly how this journey began, because of that classroom where I was like, oh, you know what? I'll just do it. I'm just going to try it. And here I am, you know, 5 years later and obsessed with it. I had no idea I would like it this much.
Oh, I'm curious. What was the story that you wrote based off of that particular fourth grade class?
My least favorite stories, because whose first story is their favorite? But it's called The Merzlings. That was the one that my first out of, you know, the box thinking, trying to do this, all the research. And I launched when COVID hit.
Oh, wow.
My book came out March 4th. Okay. So that was the talk about a least favorite.
Oh, wow. Interesting. So I'm kind of curious, could you share with us your inspiration behind your becoming a children's book author and your recent challenge of exploring writing in different genres every month? And when did you actually initially start this challenge?
So your initial question, back to the kids, like they were the ones that really kind of made me get into wanting to do this altogether. I actually hated writing growing up. I was that kid that, like, when the teacher was like, oh, we have to write an essay, I was like, oh. And now here I am doing it for fun. You know, it's funny how that works out. But my challenge, I'm trying. So, I mean, we're authors, right? So everybody that's listening probably has written a book and or wanting to write a book. There's so many stories in our minds. We always play with the idea of, oh, you know what? I'm writing romance, but actually there's this horror story that I think would be really fun. And I'm tired of talking about them. It's always like, oh, I have this idea for this genre. I have this idea for romance. I have this idea for nonfiction. And I was like, you know what? I'm doing it. I've talked about them for long enough. And fun fact, way before I even wrote the children's book, I attempted a first chapter of a romance story. And I was like, oh, my nurse in my school did it. And I was like, I want to try to do that. And that was as far as it went. It was like 700 words. And I was like, wow. Never mind. And now here we are trying it again. So I decided this was the year that I was going to just try it. So what I do is it started in February.
Okay.
So February was romance. That's what sprung that for me. So I was like, okay, all of February, I have the whole month to try to write this book and I'm going to do it the best I can. And how it works is if I don't meet my goal, I have to shelf it. I can't go back and finish it. I just have to let it go until the following year. It just stays there. If I meet it, I send it straight to the editor at the end of the month.
Awesome. So kind of curious about this challenge. So you started, this is obviously 2024. We're recording this in April of 2024. So for the challenge, I'm kind of curious, as far as the stipulations go, which you kind of just touched on right there. What are you writing exactly every month? Are you writing a full-length novel, a short story, a novella in a different genre?
So I'm trying to do novels. Like I'm trying to reach the certain word count that it needs to be at. So wherever that may lead, like right now, my romance, I think, ended up being like 45, which I know is a little bit short on the romance side. So I know the second round of editing, I'm going to have to beef it up. But hey, I got to 45 in the month of February. So I was really proud of that.
Yeah, the shortest month of the year too, actually. It's pretty impressive.
Thank you. It was two Saturdays at a library that really sealed the deal on that one. But it was really fun. And I just posted about it every single day. And I was like, this is going to be the thing that holds me accountable. So at the end of the month, I will either send it to my editor or I just have to put it aside because I have all of them that I'm going to try to get to.
Awesome. So did you finish the romance novel in February?
Yep. So that one, I got to 46. So I do have to beef it. The editor gave it back. I just haven't had time to do that yet. So I'm trying to think of originally when I started this challenge, I said in the summer months, I was going to do one of my longer books. But I actually think what I'm going to do is I'm going to take all my editing and do that in the summer months of the first four books that I did. So that'll be something that I talk about in the summer is the ways to edit and the different rounds that you go through and the changes and things.
Okay, I see. All right. And so anyone who's listening, we're recording this in April of 2024. You started in February. What was the challenge for the month of March?
A nonfiction, actually.
And did you complete that one?
I did. I just got that one back from the editor last Friday. And that actually, the nonfiction, I really want to get out for this summer. So I've been working on those edits this week as well. I'm hoping to get that back to her by tomorrow for the first round of edit.
So this is a very when I was actually looking to get you on the show, this is what inspired me to actually, I really wanted to talk to you about was the challenge that you're doing. So I'm really curious, can you explain to us how do you conduct your research and gather insights to ensure authenticity in the stories that you're writing in such a compressed, like 29, 30 day window?
I love that question. So old fashioned. You're a teacher. We love research. We love figuring things out. So it starts with the like semantics of it. So I'll Google, good old fashioned Google. What makes a blank novel? So this month I'm doing middle grade. So it's between, 20,000 to 50,000 words, or you're writing between 8 to 12 year olds. Usually it has to be problems that they're solving. There is no kithy kithy. It's very much, the problems of what's going on between these 8 to 12 year olds. So it's the first round is usually I spend a day just researching, and that could, be just like a couple of hours of straight up every answer that you need is online, to be honest. And then I do more research where I will actually grab books. So I'll look at the Lemony Snicket or James Ponti is one. Oh, here's my little stack right here. So I have like a bunch of different middle grade novels and I have them here and I'm just kind of glazing over them to not reading the whole entire thing. Uh-huh. But I'll just glaze over, see the verbiage that they're using, see how they're starting the chapter, how they're ending the chapter. And then I just go for it.
Ah, I see. So for this month, what's your current challenge?
Middle grade.
Okay. So of the three, so you've only done three as of this point. So of the three genres that you've written in so far, which would you say has been the most challenging to write? And what unexpected lessons do you think that you've learned from trying to write in that particular genre?
Romance is. I'm safely arguing that it might be the hardest out of all the ones that I do because there are such two different fan bases. You have the spicy and then you have the sweet, and you really can't cross the two. So it's very much like in the moment, what do I want to write? Am I comfortable writing it? It was a lot of self-reflection too, because in my mind, I was like, oh, I can write to market. I cannot write to market. I am terrible at spicy. They are really quick with those words of like describing things and I'm not good at them. So I guess the biggest thing I learned was just how much of a craft writing truly is. And even though I'm doing this challenge, I still am enjoying every second of it, but the people that have made these different genres their chosen genre, they just have such an art to doing it this way.
Hmm. That's interesting. So writing for genre. I think that's a really good point you made there that you really definitely have to keep your audience in mind when you're writing in a particular genre. So yeah, they might not be too happy with the lack of spicy details.
Yeah, exactly. Especially right now. There's some of them. And that was the month where I was staying up till like 4 a.m. reading. You know how I said I just skimmed these ones? I was reading till 4 a.m. I was like, this is great. And then I was exhausted. And that's why it was two full Saturdays at a library.
So I'm curious, how are you picking the genres that you're going to be working on for any given month?
Honestly, by what I really wanted to write for the past couple of years, I have my list and I'm trying to pick the month closest to something that it would be cool with. So like February was romance. March, I just did nonfiction because I decided I really wanted that one out. Middle grade, same kind of concept. And then spoiler alert, next month I'm doing children's books again, but I actually have a series. So I'm going to try to finish the six other books in the series. So it's not going to just be one. I'm going to try to write all six in the series next month. Those ones are because of me wanting to get them out. And then the other genres that I'm doing fall better into the fall slots with those months.
Ah, I see. Is there any genre that you're especially or particularly excited to go into?
I'm going to give it away. So every single month I do like a little special where I give away something that I use to help me learn. So, romancing the beat So that's like a book to help you write romance books. So if you guys see this and you guess it, you just got a little bit of a hint. But Cozy Mystery, I'm actually really excited to get into.
Cozy Mystery. For people who don't know, what is that genre like about? How is that different from just like regular mysteries?
So like regular mystery has more of like that thriller side to it. Cozy is kind of like Janet Ivanovich, where it's like sweet. There could be a little romance in it. It's a little bit rom-com-y, cute, just easy reads.
Ah, I see. So like I mentioned earlier, do extensive research on everyone before they come on the show. So I was on your Amazon page a couple of days ago, and I see that as of we're recording this today, it looks like you have around 15 titles that are currently published and available for sale, most of which appear to be children's books. So because you had mentioned earlier, you write children's books, so I kind of expected that. So I guess drawing inspiration from children's literature, what elements do you find most impactful to incorporate into like other genres of stories that might be more geared towards adults so that they resonate with that particular audience?
I think there's like a common theme of kindness and empathy in everything I do. I don't even mean for it to happen anymore. I just think of being a teacher for 10 years. That was something that I wanted to instill in my students. Like, you still need to be a kind person. Yes, we're going to do reading and math, but it's how you treat people. You attract more bees with honey than you do with sourdough. So it's like, I think that's a common theme. Like, you're going to see nice gestures through the things that I write, or, you know, putting somebody else first for a second. But if I had to pinpoint something that would easily be able to be shown across the board, it's going to be kindness.
Interesting. And also, just for listeners, for a side note, my career as a teacher was actually very short. It was probably around, I think like 2 to 3 months. I really wasn't feeling the whole having to like plan out lessons like weeks in advance. Yeah, it really wasn't really for me. And that's why I'm hosting a podcast now with authors, as opposed to working in a high school right now with angsty teenagers. All right. So enough for that intermission, and let's get back to the show. So as you continue to write in and explore and study various genres of literature, how do you maintain your unique voice and perspective, ensuring that your stories are unmistakably Brittany?
I saw that question, and it really has me thinking for like, oh man. I mean, with nonfiction, it's my voice. So what you're hearing right now is exactly how my nonfiction sounds. And for anybody listening, if you were to ask me, I know you said, what is the hardest? Nonfiction was hands down the easiest. There's just something so much easier about saying the exact thing. Like, there's no steering, there's no world building. It's just, this is the facts. So that one's my voice. And with all of them, I want to say that there's a part of how I speak in it, because I guess for the romance, there's things that she says that I absolutely say, or children's books, it's things that I have said to my students. So I really honestly think that the answer to that question would be that there is just a piece of me in each of them, just my voice in each of them.
Okay, now that you mentioned it again, I was just thinking about it. What's the nonfiction book about?
Okay, so fun fact. I tried 21 side hustles before I ended up on being an author. Remember how I said earlier that this was not on my bingo card? I had found out that I was expecting. And as you know, for the short time that you were a teacher, what teachers make is not much. Okay. So I needed to bring in more income, and I tried 21 different side hustles. So my nonfiction is called The Money Hungry Mama. It's the ultimate guide to side hustles, where I teamed up with other moms who were successful in their side hustles. And we teach moms how to make a successful side hustle. And we talk about different ones they can choose from and how to get started.
Oh, what was the most successful of all the 21 side hustles you tried?
Oh, being an author.
Oh, okay. Well, that seems pretty obvious. I thought it was going to be something like, you know, something like out, out of the box. Okay, so let me reverse that question then. Uno reverse card. What was the least successful or most difficult of the side hustles?
Oh, do we have time? I don't know. So there was a lot of trial and error. There was a lot of great things about these hustles, and there was a lot of negative things about these hustles. But dog sitting, I think, was the most lucrative. But have you had an anxiety dog in your home where his owners were not there? They just scream for hours. So I think that was the hardest side hustle, because you just, it's like having a baby, but like it's not your baby, and there's no way to calm it down. It just cries.
Oh, and urinates on the floor. Yeah.
Yeah. We had to change 3 carpets after that too.
Jeez. I probably canceled out the money you made from it, didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
100%. So in the book, I do say, you know, make sure you have a space, like have like a little mini hotel dog.
Oh yeah. All right. Well, what do you know? There's our biggest takeaway from the episode. If you're going to host dogs, make sure that they do not have anxiety, or you'll end up changing your carpets multiple times and spending a fortune on it. I hope you're taking notes on that, folks. Awesome. All right. So I was curious. I think you kind of touched on this before, but I want to switch gears a little bit to time management. So you have 3 children, all under the age of 7. And how do you balance the roles of, you know, being a parent and pursuing a career as a full-time author and also a coach to other authors? Like, could you walk us through how you structure your days?
Yeah, absolutely. So basically what you want to do is be transparent. Write it down. Write down everything you do from the minute you wake up till that last doomsday scroll of the night. You write down the exact things that you're doing. And when push comes to shove, you're going to see time. Like, I used to spend my nights, I hate admitting it, but TikToking, just like watching them, not making them, just watching them, just watching or buying or, and it just got to the point where you realize that there is time throughout the day. So now my schedule goes, I get the kids in bed, and then that's my writing time. I tried the whole wake up early. For some reason, I wake up early, they're waking up early, everybody's up early. So it was just kind of like a wash. But I know like the second I get them down to bed, that is my time. That is me time. That is going to be when I'm able to do it. So, and you know, with the author coaching, I work for the company selfpublishing.com. So it's a full-time, you know, 9-to-5 situation. So it's not like I have any time in that. It's a true gig. It really does come down to bedtime, and Saturdays are my non-negotiable. I won't write on Saturdays. I did those 2 Saturdays because I was not going to make that cut. I would love to say that I learned my lesson. I didn't, but I really try not to write on Saturdays.
I see. I think that was I've actually heard that same advice from other authors that I've had on the show. As a matter, I'll put in the show notes. I had a very impressive young lady. She's 16 years old with I think 16 or 17 books published as of present, and she said pretty much the same thing, that she allocates like out her time, and you know, it's really not so much a matter of, we as people don't have enough time. It's rather that it's a lack of focus rather than, you know, a lack of time. Like you had said, you're using time just scrolling on TikTok, learning the latest TikTok dances, et cetera. So I think that's definitely a really good takeaway that the audience could probably get. So I'm curious, how do you stay motivated and focused on, you know, your goals of basically completing your challenge every month amidst the challenges of being like a full-time parent and just other random things that might come up, especially when you have like 3 young children in the house?
So that's a 2-part question. So what gets me excited is I literally turned it into me time. So what does that mean? I have like a lit candle. I'm listening to, and if anybody here does not already as a writer, listen to classical music. There is something about it. I even did some research because I was like, how is this so good? And it's like, there's just something that brings out the creative side in our brain. I listen to my classical music. I have my nice little latte. I make myself like a special little latte or a Shirley Temple. If you have not had one in a while, go ahead, because they are good. And I just write. I turn it into just relaxation time, but also I stopped looking at it like I had to do it. And oh my gosh, I get to do this. This is like fun for me now. And when it comes to the goal and staying on track, because there's times, like you said, you don't feel good. You're sick. They're sick. Everybody's in the house is like, you know, you have baseball and this, and it does, it gets hectic. But the end goal is that feeling you get when you hold that book for the first time, when you're like, dang, I did this. Like, this came out of my mind and I put it into paper and now I get to share it. So it's the end goal for me. And the fact that one day I really do hope to be a full-time career author. And in order to do that, you got to have the books behind you.
Exactly. So I was curious, because I actually didn't find this in my extensive research, that you said you do coaching for is it selfpublishing.com?
Yep.
Yeah. So are you more like a book coach or a writing coach? What kind of coaching do you provide?
Yeah. So author coach. So authors or writer, people who want to write a book that have never written a book before, they usually go to selfpublishing.com and I walk them through it from start to finish. And selfpublishing.com is an all-in-one done-for-you service. So they make the book, they format the book, all of that.
Okay. So as an author coach, I'm familiar with book coaches and writing coaches. So... Same. Oh, that's what you do?
Yeah, yeah, same thing. I walk you through the step of the process from idea to writing it to holding that baby in your hand being like, wow, I got to do this.
So I'm curious. So how long have you been doing that, working as an author coach for them?
Since last June. So it'll be a year in June.
All right, awesome. So I'm kind of curious. So based off of the writers and authors that you've been working with, what are some of the, common sticking points or like problems that you hear from them frequently? And how do you help them work around those?
It's imposter syndrome. That gets everybody the second you really sit down and you want to do it. You have that in your back of your mind. Who am I to do this? Why would anybody read this? What if so-and-so reads it? What are they going to do? They're going to make fun of me? Like, you just have this little voice in the back of your head that tries to tell you no. And I say the same thing every single time. If it's in your heart, write it. Everybody started with a story in their heart. You know, Stephen King, J.K. Rowling, Colleen Hoover. Think of every single big name. They started with an idea.
Yeah.
Nobody walked onto the scene with all of this behind them. Everybody started the same spot, one story. And I bet you, if you ask most of them, they don't like their first story that much. Okay. But you learn from the process. And especially with a lot of my authors, you know, everybody has the same goal. They want to help somebody. They want to tell somebody the story to make their lives better. If you want to help someone, how can you help them if you don't actually get the word out? If you don't actually put the pen to the paper? If you have this story that's inside you that you know somebody else will resonate with, if that story is never written, that person might never resonate with a story. Maybe yours was the one story that was going to be the one to tip them over the edge, to chase their dream or to live their life or to do those things. And if you don't put the pen to the paper, what about that person? And that's what I say every single time.
Well, that's a really good point. You know, you have to, if you have that story in your heart or that daiquiri in your hand, like Hemingway, you know, it's got to... Mm-hmm. Got to drink that daiquiri. Oh yeah, and write that story too after you've had your daiquiri as well, or a couple of them if you want. All right, Brittany. So this has been a very informative and educational chat that I've had with you today. So I was curious. So how can anyone keep up with you and the progress of your challenge?
Instagram's my fave. You guys can follow me at BY. Brittany, BRITTANY, Plumeri, PLUMERI.
All right. And I will be sure to put that into the show notes. So Brittany, I wanted to thank you for your time and sharing your insights as you work your way through every genre of Western literature. And I am your host, Ray Evans, signing off for another episode of the Pen to Profit podcast. And as we say around these parts, the pen is mightier than the sword. Unless you're in a sword fight, then you might want to reconsider your options. Have a great day, folks.
All right, that wraps up another episode of the Pen to Profit podcast, your go-to beacon in the foggy sea of self-publishing. If you found a nugget of wisdom or a spark of inspiration in today's chat, do the savvy thing. Hit subscribe and never miss out on another episode. And hey, if your manuscript is thirsting for that polished edge before it hits the shelves, drop a line for a sample edit that'll make your word shine like a lighthouse at midnight. Use the link in the show notes to reach out to Ray at rayevansproofreader.com. Until next time, keep writing, keep dreaming, and keep aiming for the stars with your stories.